In order, will everyone in the Senate and in the galleries please rise for the prayer by Reverend Gock and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
From the fourth psalm we hear, keep your hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We acknowledge that our heart is the center of our emotions, Lord, and it does us well to keep it in proper order, for we know what is required of us. So as we complete our work this week and drive to spend time with those we love, may we rejoice and give thanks for the gift they are that you have given to us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Serapoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Leibler, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schoff, Schatz, Shoup, Sipton, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from Andrew.
Mr. President, I am here.
Senator from Andrew is here. Senator from Dallas. Senator from Dallas is here. Quorum being present, the Senate is in session. Madam Secretary, please read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session, 12th day, Wednesday, January 24th, 2018. The Senate met pursuant to adjournment.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that further reading of the journal has been dispensed with, and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
The Senator from Cole has moved that further reading of the journal be dispensed with, and the same being approved as having been fully read. Does any senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator from Cole, you recognize close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail signify by saying aye. Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Introduction of guests. Introduction of guests. Senator from Butler.
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I inquire the senator from the third?
Senator from the third, do you yield to an inquiry of the senator from Butler?
Yes, I do.
You may proceed.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Senator.
My reason for the inquiry, it's been 2 weeks and one day since we sent a letter to the Attorney General's office to investigate some allegations and claims against our chief executive officers here in the state, which later on got referred over to the St. Louis Circuit Prosecuting Attorney's Office. And I thought maybe we'd just visit on it just a second and talk about some of the communications and things that has been going on since then.
You know, Senator, I think that when we took the step to get the letter, we wanted to bring this to an expedient conclusion. But as we've gone through the process, we know that the Attorney General's been tasked with determining sunshine violation on the Confide app. We've had the allegations that we addressed in our letter. We've had some concerns about the dark money funds. There seems to be several issues out there that is perplexing this body and the legislation as a building as a whole. And I think at some point we're going to have to make a decision whether the Senate or the House steps up and starts doing our own thing to control our own destinies, to find out what the real issues are out there and deal with them.
That's correct. You know, there's also discussions that that I've overheard and been hearing also about, you know, the Attorney General's office representing the governor's office on the confide with an attorney firm, and then possibly the same attorney firm is representing the governor on personal issues. And I'm just wondering, you know, whether or not this, if that looks proper to you, and maybe the state taxpayers in this state, wondering how all that works together.
Well, and I think you bring up a very fair concern, and maybe we have a couple of attorneys in the building here, and maybe there's a chance for you to ask that question directly. But right now, what concerns me is my understanding is that the same attorney that's representing the governor with the AG's office on this confide issue is the same attorney that's representing the governor on his personal issue. I think we ought to know how he's being paid. I understand this attorney's getting paid by taxpayers' money on the AG issue. Supposedly he's getting paid by the governor out of his own personal pocket on the other issue out there. And that concerns me that we may need to fully understand how that is separation. It sounds like a little bit of a conflict when the same attorney is dealing with both issues and that concern.
Yeah, well, I have the same concern, if in fact that's all true, and that's why I think maybe at some point some more in-depth investigations is going to have to happen, because, you know, we still have a cloud hanging over Jefferson City. It's still being reported on statewide, nationally, so on and so forth. And I'm just getting concerned whether or not we're getting any closer to determining how we move forward.
And I think, you know, you always need to be prepared and plan for the future. We made a commitment that we would wait upon the investigation, but in light of the new information coming forward, it is necessary for us to have this conversation today. It is necessary for us to know, do we have a path to deal with this? We as a legislative body cannot just sit and wait for other people to take care of things that are affecting us as a body. And so I know I've talked with the senator from Green, who's done a lot of research on what the proper procedures might be on the responsibility of the Senate, responsibility on the House, and I would hope maybe he has some thoughts on that, how we can proceed to bring this to light so that we're taking our future in our own hands on these allegations that are out there and deal with them in a manner that, again, has some expediency.
Well, I think in my inquiry, then maybe you can inquire the senator from Green, if that's what you want to do. All right. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. President.
Senator for the third.
May I inquire the senator from Green?
Senator from Green, do you yield to an inquiry of the senator from St. Francis?
I do.
You may proceed.
Senator, thank you for taking my inquiry. And you and I have had conversations over the last couple of weeks. You know, we want to see this dealt with. We want to see this issue resolved. But in light of some of this new concerns about the same attorney dealing with the governor on two separate issues, whether or not that's a conflict, and maybe that's not an illegal opinion on your part. But I think what we may have to do is consider the Senate taking a lead role or the House taking the lead role in doing our own investigation, our own sense of responsibility of taking these issues on. And I know you've done some research on that, and I would appreciate if you could share some of your thoughts on what we may consider doing.
Well, I can't give you a legal opinion. I'm not able to do that. I can give you my own opinion. I have talked to a number of folks, and I've done a little bit of research about processes. And, you know, as we've discussed on this floor a number of times, I think process is paramount. And if we follow the process despite the policy, we stay out of trouble.
We do, and you know, our letter that we signed is that we really wanted to go through a process that we felt like was the right approach, which was to request the AG's office to look into it. Mm-hmm. The AG said they did not have jurisdiction on the particular matter, and so had to defer it back to St. Louis. That's fine. There was an expediency there, but still, we as a elected body are not dealing with this at this time.
And are we, which issue are we? Well, I didn't hear the inquiry, so I don't know which specific issue. Are we talking about the criminal investigation, or are we talking about another investigation?
We're talking about if we need to deal with any one of these particular issues, what would be a good process for the Senate or the House to be progressing in?
Well, for a number of reasons, I think it best that we not comment on ongoing criminal investigations, or any investigation for that matter, and I'll tell you why. Because if we look at the article in the Constitution that deals with our responsibility with the ultimate investigative process that's delegated to the legislative branch, the Senate is placed by the Constitution in the very unique and arduous place of selecting the jury. And so I think it's best for all of us to remain impartial. There are two instances where the Senate is placed in that role. Typically, the jury decides the case, if you will, and that's the word I use. That's not the word in the Constitution. But typically that is handled by the Missouri Supreme Court, but there are two instances where the Senate is involved. Now, on the federal system, in the federal system, the Senate actually decides the case. That is not the case in the state constitution. We don't do that for a number of reasons. I think it used to be done that way, but for political, getting the politics out of it, that was changed a number of years ago. So in the case of a Supreme Court justice or the governor, the Senate is placed in the unique position of basically a voir dire process, or choosing what the Constitution refers to as seven eminent jurists. And that is very specific. So we, of course, would want to remain impartial rather than getting involved in that and commenting on the investigation that might or might not occur. Then we, in order to impartially select seven impartial, because we want impartiality, eminent jurists, and five of those would actually have to vote for conviction. So under the Constitution, the investigative process and the role of bringing charges is really relegated to the House rather than the Senate. So that
is done so that we keep our impartiality on the Senate, let the House do the investigative part, draw the information together, and then we are in a position to impanel a jury.
Right, and so I think just as we understand and probably reacquaint ourselves with that constitutional responsibility, I think it's important and wise for us to refrain from commenting even publicly or privately on any ongoing criminal investigation or other investigation for that matter, which might be brought before us, because this body always, historically and presently, takes its responsibilities very seriously, and the people in here are very thoughtful and very deliberative, and that's one thing that I have learned increasingly over the 8 years I've been here and very appreciative of. So as far as other investigative processes, while the Senate does have subpoena power that can be issued, I think we've been very reluctant to use that. We can compel a witness to come and to test, but we can compel a witness to come before a committee, and we have done that in the past. But I think in instances which I believe you're referring to, I think it's best to leave that to those who are statutorily tasked with those responsibilities, specifically those who are prosecutors. So that is an ongoing process. And with regard to other investigations, I know with the one you're referring to, the Attorney General did defer to the prosecutor. And I think that was probably the best thing, I mean, just from what I've read and understand. With regard to the other investigation that the Attorney General is conducting, dealing with apps, the Confide app and so forth, that's really the role of that office rather than a political body. And so I trust that will be done with all diligence, and I think that's probably the best place for it to be.
Well, I appreciate it. Do you have any additional comments?
No, I appreciate asking. I've been looking to make sure that I understand. I certainly have figured out that there is so much that I don't know.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate the conversation, and I think we're in new territory for a lot of us, but I think there's several fires that we're dealing with right now, and I'm trying to figure out how do we approach these as professionally as we can within the guidelines and the confines that we have, House responsibility, Senate responsibility. We have the issue where the staff attorney for the governor has made contact with the attorney of the gentleman that's been involved with the issue that's out there that the St. Louis prosecuting attorney is dealing with. Is that a violation? Is that where we use state taxpayer money to pay for an attorney that's dealing with a private issue matter? Again, we have the same attorney for the governor dealing with the private issue matters, the same attorney that's used to deal with the AG's office on the confide matter. This is all, it's a big picture issue.
And I think, I'll call them the Fourth Estate. The press has been all over a number of these issues, and there is the Court of Public Opinion, which, that's up to them and the press. I don't think that that's something that we, especially given our constitutional responsibilities that we may or may not be placed in. I mean, it's a possibility, so I think it's best, with it being an ongoing investigation, that we kind of separate ourselves from it and remain impartial so that if we are placed in an arduous situation, we can do so and have the credibility that the public would want to have.
I appreciate your thought process. Thank you very much, Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from St. Francis.
May I inquire the Senator from Butler?
Senator from Butler, you yield to an inquiry to the Senator from St. Francis.
I do. Thank you, Mr. President.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, as the Senator from Green mentioned, I understand his concern about, you know, how much we have this discussion and conversation on the floor may diminish our ability to be impartial. We need the House to step up and be able to do their part to investigate. And I think through our conversation this morning, if the situation is as it appears to be, we need for the House to step up and begin the proceedings that are necessary to bring to light, to shed light upon all these particular fires that are burning. Each individual has its own concern, but if, as you look at it as a culmination or a combination, it brings about serious concerns on where we're at with this situation right now.
Yeah, I agree, and I think so far it's been, on this side, it's been handled very professionally.
I agree with
the Senator from Green, and I agree with you, and you know, it's something that we need to be very concerned about and try to move forward on.
Well, I appreciate your inquiry. It sparked some more interest on my behalf of making sure that we follow procedure, and it dovetailed real nicely into conversations that the Senator and I from Green have had, that I feel like we need to be prepared. We need to know what our responsibilities, duties, and limitations are, and I appreciate his interpretation of that today, and I appreciate your inquiry today. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. President.
Senator from Butler.
I'd like to inquire the Senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield to an inquiry of the Senator from Butler?
I do.
You may proceed.
You know, the term confide has been used several times this morning, and for the listeners, I think we need to make sure they understand what the confide app is all about. Are you pretty up on that?
Senate will be in order while the senators are discussing their issues.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, I heard the Senator from St. Francois mention the potential conflict of having the state legal expense fund cover the governor's attorney's fees for defending him in both the case potentially involving acts of his official duties regarding the Confide app, and then also defending him against the other matter, which came out a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I have a little personal insight into being covered by the state legal expense fund, since I was just covered by the state legal expense fund.
You have experience with that.
So I think the members may appreciate hearing a little bit of my experience there. And so basically what happened was I had requests for my emails, mostly regarding my communications regarding my dark money bill, and it was from the Missouri Alliance for Freedom, and they wanted my emails, and those emails, I was talking about potential legislation, maybe. They wanted to see them, and as we all know, our emails as senators and representatives are not, as far as we consider it, subject to the Sunshine Law. So, you know, my emails arguably were part of my official state duties. So the Graves and Garrett law firm, representing the Missouri Alliance for Freedom, they filed the lawsuit against me. And by the way, Nathan Garrett is on the list of appointees today of the Graves and Garrett Law Firm. Todd Graves is the chairman of the Missouri Republican Party, and he was the one suing me. So not being a man of great means and able to afford attorneys for frivolous lawsuits like this, I asked the State Legal Defense Fund, or I asked the Attorney General, to represent me and have the State Legal Expense Fund cover it. Because after all, if I had broken the law as determined by the judge in my official duties, I would want to be covered and indemnified.
That's correct.
Cooperated with their work, I would be covered by the State Legal Expense Fund. Well, knowing how the statewide elected officials are all kind of working together, and they all work together in their campaign, and knowing how Mr. David Humphreys gave $1 million to the governor, and I think $2 or $3 million to Josh Hawley, the attorney general, I wrote a letter to the attorney general and said, I'd like to hire my own attorney because I think you might have a conflict. You know, you might have a conflict because, you know, if I'm alleged to have violated the Sunshine Law, you might be the one investigating me at some point. And not only that, but you have to know that I'm on the Appropriations Committee that examines your budget. And so since the Attorney General allowed Nicole Galloway to have her own attorney, then I kind of felt like, you know, for the same reason she audits the Attorney General's office, mm-hmm. I approve their budget on the Appropriations Committee, maybe I ought to have my own attorney and have it paid for by the State Legal Expense Fund.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah. I mean, I thought what's fair for the goose should be fair for the gander, you know? So it turns out that they said no. They said, no, we will not allow you to have your own, to have the legal expense fund pay for your own attorney. You can pay for your own attorney if you want one, but if you want the state legal expense fund to cover you, you got to let the attorney general, our office, handle the case. And I have to say they did a great job. They really were purely professional. They did a great job. So now you have the question of, everything here is the question of conflict of interest. So the governor, he's accused of using the Confide app and using it in such a way that important state business is automatically destroyed and not saved. Now, maybe the governor thinks that doing it that way, the way he does it, is within the law. I mean, I give him the benefit of the doubt. If the governor thinks that what he did was legal, and he is now accused and is being sued for that, well, then he, just like I would want the state legal expense fund to indemnify him for that.
Right.
And he probably perceives that the Attorney General has a conflict of interest. Because, I mean, after all, the Attorney General has stated that they're going to do an inquiry into the governor's use of the Confide app. So if the state Attorney General is doing this inquiry, it would seem to me to be a pretty big conflict for him to also, at the same time, defend the governor in a lawsuit filed by some people in St. Louis, I think, over the use of the Confide app. So I think that that's perfectly appropriate for him to ask to have his own attorney. But now you've got to ask the question, if the governor is using that very same attorney to defend him against charges of sexual blackmail and assault or whatever the St. Louis County prosecutor is looking into, well, now all of a sudden you've got to think about conflict of interest. Well, who would have that that conflict? The attorney who's representing him only has his interests at heart,
right,
in both matters. I mean, I don't see a conflict for Mr. Bennett, who's defending the governor in both cases. I mean, like, his job in the one case is to defend the governor against the one charge, and then his duty in the other case is defend the governor against the other charge. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. There's no conflict. He can do it. But we as Missourians kind of wonder, is the governor's attorney going to bill more hours or something for, you know, defending him on the Confide app thing and make the state legal expense fund pay for it a little bit more than he should, and then, you know, kind of use those dollars to help supplement the governor's defense of the sexual blackmail and assault charge, okay? Well, I don't think that... I think that there's a person whose duty to look into that is the Attorney General's office or whoever it is that runs watchdog on the state legal expense fund. That's their job. And so I'm just hoping that if whatever happens, if they let the same attorney do both, that, you know, the watchdog that's supposed to be looking over it will do a good job, look over it, and make sure that that doesn't happen.
I guess that could also be looked at through the budget or something, maybe.
Yeah, I guess the budget committee could say. But see, I don't think we'll probably ever know how much Mr. Bennett charges the governor to defend him for, you know, the sexual blackmail allegation. I mean, we'll probably never, ever see that bill. All the only bill we'll ever see is the bill for defending him against using the Confide app.
I see. Okay.
So does that kind of make sense, how I see all that?
Yeah. And also, my original question, though, is what I understand what that app does is actually erases all text messages off your phone. So if you were conducting some type of business or something, it's no longer available.
Yeah.
So, is that the way you understand what that app does?
Absolutely, that's
I'm not a real techie guy, but...
Well, it's just another attempt to thwart transparency. Now, don't forget that this governor said he was going to be the most transparent governor. Well, using the Confide app...
And draining the swamp.
Yeah, and he's going to drain the swamp, and us career... corrupt career politicians is what we are.
Right.
That, you know, he was going to drain the swamp, and that the transparency around the money is the most important thing. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not happening.
Well, I appreciate the inquiry.
Okay. Thank you for inquiring.
Welcome. Thank you.
Senator from the 14th.
Mr. President, I would like to first inquire of the senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield to an inquiry of the senator from the 14th?
I do.
You may proceed.
Thank you. You know, I've been listening to the discourse on the floor. I've also been listening or reading some of the newspaper articles. One in particular in the Post-Dispatch talked about Kim Gardner taking over the case and investigation. And I believe in that article, it said something to the effect that her powers would be limited in scope on whether on what she would be able to investigate. Are you familiar with that article in the Post-Dispatch yesterday?
I'm sorry, I'm not. I haven't seen it.
Okay. So, and then there were other articles that I, you know, I have extra time now, so I get to do way more research and read things that I ordinarily wouldn't have that opportunity to do. However, it looks as though your caucus is really divided on this issue, because there were articles that were in other news clippings that I read that I think the senator from the Let's make sure I'm getting it right. The senator from the 26th, he said in an article that it's a family matter, you know, we should stay out of it, et cetera, et cetera. I know the senator from the 6th had his own statement in regards to what is occurring right now. And then there are a group of you who were targeted last year by the governor himself. And I understand the anger that you have. How do you guys think you're going to move ahead being a divided caucus?
Well, I'm not so sure that our caucus here is divided.
Well, it's based on the comments that have been in the newspaper, and hopefully my staff is bringing down those news clippings because I particularly cut them out myself and underlined the quotes from the senator from the 6th as well as the senator from the 26th. And then I listened to some of the video. The senator from Butler, he did an interview with KMOV. I looked at that video and his statement on there. I looked at another video that you were on. I think both of us were on that video together on the Today Show yesterday. And so I know that there is some real concern from a group of you, but then there are another group of people who think that we should just make this issue disappear.
Okay, well, what I think is that our two caucuses, we both have public policy issues that we agree on, and that there are issues that we don't all agree on, and that's as it should be. But I think what we need to agree on as members of the opposing caucuses is that we are not going to allow the governor's black cloud over the Capitol building to stop us from governing appropriately, and that we don't need the governor to do the work that the Constitution requires that we do, and we're going to do it, and we're going to do it effectively, no matter what has happened with him. We don't need his help passing legislation. We don't need his help passing the budget. All he gets to do at the end is decide whether to sign our bills.
Okay, so here's the quote I'm looking at. It was in the Post-Dispatch on the 19th of this month.
And Senator, can I interrupt you just for a second? I just want to say, I've been told that there are some people that need to be introduced because they're going to have to leave soon. I just want you to know that.
So okay. That you... Are you introducing them?
No, no, not me.
I don't know what
Senator received that. I received that text message.
Okay. Let me see if I got a text message. I haven't gotten a text message. So I'm looking at... Let's see, the article on the 19th of January. And it says, here's the quote from the senator from the 6th. We're human. People make mistakes. And certainly there are several families involved in the current activity we've been hearing about. I feel for those families. I think they need to work it out. Certainly if there is something that comes forward that is more severe, that changes the storyline. So I'm looking at that conversation, and then I'm comparing the statements that were made this summer. You know, and I'm looking at, we're all human. Are only some of us human? Are some of us three quarters human? Are some of us half human? I'm just trying to figure that out. And then the number two Republican, this is the quote from the Post-Dispatch. The number two Republican in the Senate said he disagrees with the calls for resignation unless more severe information emerges. So, I mean, obviously there's a cushion between those who commit adultery. I mean, they're human. That's what the senator from the 6th said. They're human. People make mistakes. That's what is said in this article in the Post-Dispatch. People make mistakes, and there's not an immediate request for a resignation. And then you go on. Let's see. I cut these out on purpose. Make a point later on. I didn't underline it, but I have all these articles. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are a group of people who are in your caucus who are saying that the governor is human, which I agree. When the governor called me, I literally told him, you're about to go through hell. I know what it's like to go through hell, but protect your family. That's actually what I told him. And so there are people who are upset, including yourself, the senator from Butler, the senator from the 3rd, perhaps other senators here. But then you have other people who just think that nothing's going to happen. I got a whole bunch of letters, emails in my district over the weekend about this matter. And while I agree, you know, I don't think someone should be an adulterer. I mean, I think that that's crazy for someone to run. This is what they said, to run on family values and then be an adulterer at the same time. That was a huge issue for my district. You know, and then they also have a huge concern at the fact that nothing, it seems as though nothing's going to happen. So as you guys are standing up here, I'm looking at the videos where you guys have been making statements, and in part I agree, sometimes I agree wholly, but it looks like when it comes to someone who's doing something that is offensive or asking a human mistake, an error, there is a difference in the way people are treated in this legislature. So my constituents, you know, I shared with them that Kansas City Star editorial that I guess was written on the 5th or 6th or something like that, and they still don't understand why is it that Caucasian men who make these human mistakes are treated differently than women of color. And I think there's more behind this. And as you do your due diligence, I'm going to do my due diligence as well to find what was behind some of the things that have occurred in the last 6 months. But I just don't know. It looks like he's going to get away with it. That's what it looks like. I mean, there have been, as I said last week, there have been a lot of people who have committed adultery in this building. Whole bunch of them. Some of it's public, some of it's not been public yet.
Well, as I told you, Senator, my concerns haven't changed since those allegations of sexual blackmail and assault came out. My concern was about the appearance of corruption, or the appearance of it, and not knowing because of his use of the secret dark money committee that he has. And then the thing that put me over the top was when he had Lucinda Lutkemeyer, you know, make the phone call, which appeared to me to be an attempt to, you know, figure this thing out, maybe sweep it under the rug. I mean, and that was the use of state resources for his own personal, benefit. And that is something that I think needs to be investigated.
Well, Senator,
you know, all the rest of it is just he said versus she said. And the only way I think that the governor ever comes out of this is if he, like, takes a lie detector test and passes it and makes it public. I mean, that would be the only way.
All right, so I'm going to stop this particular inquiry because there are some very, very special guests who are here today, and I want to make sure that the senator who is introducing them has an opportunity to have their voices heard here in the Senate chamber, and then I will go back to my inquiry. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. I seek unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
We are on the order of the introduction of special guests, so you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I forgot what order of business we were on. Mr. President, on your right and on my left, I have a number of folks here from Springfield who take care of our Missouri Job Center and the Workforce Development Office in Springfield. And if they'll stand as I call their name, I'd like for the Senate to make them welcome. Bill Smiley, Josh Klein, Karen Dowdy, Marianne Rojas, the director, and Sally Payne, all of Springfield. And on behalf of the senators from Webster and Christian, and myself, I would ask that they be made welcome here in the Missouri Senate.
Let's welcome the guest of the senator from Green to the Senate chamber this morning. Introduction of guests, Senator from the 14th.
Mr. President, I would like to inquire of the Senator from Buchanan again.
Senator from Buchanan. Do you yield to an inquiry of the Senator from 14th?
I do.
You may proceed.
I found the quote. I put a bracket instead of underlining, but I was looking at, again, an article from 9/14 in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch versus an article just recently, the 13th, or no, let's see, the 19th. So here's the difference between what was said in September of last year versus what has been said in the last week about someone who made a human mistake. So because I can't say their names, I'm just going to say their district numbers. The senator from the 26th and the senator from the 6th both pushed back against any notion that there were racial motivations behind legislative leaders pushed to censure Chappelle Nadal, who is black, versus the lack of official reprimand against Love, who is white. And the senator from the 26th said, "That's the silliest thing I've ever heard of. It's about a comment against the president." Then you fast forward to what that same senator said, and or one of them, the one from the 6th, "I am not the judge or the jury." When it comes to the governor, "I am not the judge or the jury. People make mistakes." I'm just looking at the different quotes, the different situations of people who make human mistakes, and then calling them out. But we're going to continue in this and have a continual discussion, because after this happened, 2 weeks after veto session, there was a letter signed by 18 senators saying to the EPA that the issues in my district where you have radioactive waste did not matter at all. There was no problem. That's basically 18 senators signed a letter. So I got the punishment, but it wasn't enough. Instead of dealing with the issues that we dealt with on September 13th, there was a letter that was signed on October 1st. And the punishment wasn't enough. Let's go further and punish this senator. Let's sign a letter saying that legacy nuclear waste in a landfill that's burning presents absolutely no problem. Now, there are people who are in this chamber who are going to be having bills for land conveyance, floodplain maintenance, etc. You know, I would never, ever want to have to write a letter to some federal entity saying that these things shouldn't be dealt with. So I'm just looking at that, I wanted to have a conversation with you about that. I realize where you are. I have not gone so far to ask for the resignation of the governor. I am waiting to get more information. I am waiting for the investigation. I realize that there are people who are in this chamber who have been offended and targeted by the governor, and you have to do what you have to do. And I am not going to get in the way of what you're doing, but in this conversation, what is important is to point out that you have a divided caucus, and your caucus speaks out of both sides of their mouths sometimes. And I'm just looking at let me tell you, even my white constituents, they're talking about the difference in how a woman of color is treated versus people who are Caucasian and male. They're talking about that, and they see the difference. So I'm just saying, I'm looking at these articles, I'm writing about it, and I want to make sure that the press corps is very aware of this. And if the press corps would like to have a letter or a copy of that letter that was signed by 18 senators in this chamber, you are more than welcome to go to my office, because we've already printed copies for you.
Well, Senator, I don't think that any caucus is going to be unified on every issue.
I got it.
And I also think that it's probably true that no matter who said on social media what you wrote, whether black or white, Asian, whatever, they probably would have had the same reaction. And
I could tell you at home, it's just really interesting. There's the what y'all think and then what's really going down at home are two different things. So well, that's all so, I have to say for that.
Okay, I would hope that it wouldn't matter to anyone whether you're black or white, that the way that we deal with things would be colorblind. I think that we try hard to achieve that. And, you know, we do the best we can individually on a daily basis.
Well, I appreciate the inquiry. Mr. President, I would like to inquire of the senator from Butler.
Senator from Butler. Do you yield to an inquiry of the senator from the 14th?
I do, Mr. President.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I have been watching some of the videos that you're in, and I have felt your anger that you have in this situation. I am trying to figure out the weekend before and this weekend. This weekend, I got a bunch of emails from constituents about this matter. The weekend before, I was trying to figure out what is it exactly that you want to have investigated. Is it the affair that the governor had, or is it the blackmail, or is it the type of sex that is alleged?
Senator, I have not been angry about anything. Matter of fact, I was the one that stood up on the floor of the Senate 2 weeks, one day ago, and said everyone has a right to face their accusers, and that there was a lot of rumors and allegations going on, and I thought we should get to the bottom of it as soon as possible. So any interviews I've done has been on the same topic.
You've been passionate. I could say you've been passionate because in the videos, I'm not trying to be negative towards you. I know how you are, and you're a passionate person, and that's what I appreciate about you as an individual, that when you want to know about an issue, you're passionate. So in the videos that I've seen of you, you've been hyped up and passionate about getting to the bottom of this.
Right.
You would agree to that, correct?
That's correct. So the answer to that is the letter, it was here for you to sign if you wanted to sign. I couldn't remember if you signed it or not.
I did not.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it didn't call out anyone. It wasn't presuming anyone was guilty of anything, and it was about the blackmail charges.
The blackmail. Okay.
Yes.
That's what I wanted to get clear
yes.
on because I didn't know.
That's
I was
all
trying
I've
to
ever,
figure out what people were upset about, and it's the blackmail. So I have that answered.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you, Senator.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. President.
We are on the order of introduction of guests. Seeing none. Petitions, memorials, and remonstrances. Seeing none. Resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Introduction of bills. Seeing none, Senator from Cole.
Oh.
We remain on the order of introduction of bills. Senator from Barton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward.
No explanation necessary.
Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 960, introduced by Senator Emery, an act relating to eye drops for newborn infants.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Webster.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill, and there's no explanation necessary.
Please send your bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 961, introduced by Senator Cunningham, an act relating to the expiration of the Petroleum Storage Tank Insurance Fund.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Jefferson.
I have two bills.
Please send your two bills forward.
No explanation is needed.
Madam Secretary, please read the first bill.
Senate Bill number 962, introduced by Senator Whelan, an act relating to payments made by insurance companies.
Madam Secretary, please read the second bill.
Senate Bill number 963, introduced by Senator Whelan, an act relating to purchasing processes for innovative technology by the Office of Administration.
Introduction of bills. Senator from the 23rd.
I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 964, introduced by Senator Igel, an act relating to statewide assessments for elementary and secondary education students.
Senator from the 23rd, do you care to explain the bill?
No comments necessary.
Introduction of bills. Seeing none. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm not going to introduce Bill LaRue. For the benefit of the body, Mr. President, Kermit Miller from KRCG-TV has been granted permission to take photos and videos in the Senate chamber today. Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees, and I'd ask you to recognize the Senator from Newton County for a report.
Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a committee report from a committee on gubernatorial appointments. A list of the appointments has been distributed on the desk, but I ask for a waive the reading.
Please send the report forward. Hearing no objection, grant of the waiver will be granted.
Mr. President, I request unanimous consent of the Senate to vote on the reports in one motion.
Hearing no objection, request will be granted.
Mr. President, I move the committee reports be adopted and the Senate do give its advised consent to the appointments.
You've heard the motion of the Senator from Newton. Does any senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator from Newton, you're recognized to close.
I renew my motion.
You've heard the motion of the Senator from Newton. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it.
We're still on the order of business report standing committees. The Senator from Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a report from your Agriculture, Food Production, and Outdoor Resources.
Senator report forward. Madam Secretary, read the report.
Okay, what do we got? Mr. President, your Committee on Agriculture, Food Production, and Outdoor Resources, to which was referred Senate Bill 547, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Agriculture, Food Production, and Outdoor Resources, to which was referred Senate Bill 659, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Munslinger, Chairman.
Senator from Phelps.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Appropriations has a report.
Send a report forward. Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Appropriations, to which was referred Senate Bill 775, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Brown, Chairman.
Senator from Berry.
Mr. President, your Committee of Seniors, Families, and Children has a report.
Senator, report forward. Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Seniors, Families, and Children, to which was referred Senate Bill 574, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Respectfully submitted, Senator Sater, Chairman.
Senator from Barton. Senator from Cole, do you have Senator from Barton's report?
Thank you, Mr. President. On behalf of the Senator from Barton, your Committee on Commerce, Consumer Protection, Energy, and the Environment has a report.
Send a report forward. Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Commerce, Consumer Protection, Energy, and the Environment, to which was referred Senate Bill 649, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Commerce, Consumer Protection, Energy, and the Environment, to which was referred Senate Bill 730, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Emery, Chairman.
Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Senate Education has a report.
Send a report forward. Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Education, to which was referred Senate Bill 807 and Senate Bill 577, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Romine, Chairman.
Senator from Jefferson.
Your Committee on Insurance and Banking has a report.
Send a report forward. Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Insurance and Banking, to which was referred Senate Bill 593, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Insurance and Banking, to which was referred Senate Bill 594, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Whelan, Chairman.
Senator from Franklin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Committee on Transportation, Infrastructure, and Public Safety has a report.
Send a report forward. Madam Secretary, read your report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Transportation, Infrastructure, and Public Safety, to which was referred Senate Bill 586, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attach do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Transportation, Infrastructure, and Public Safety, to which was referred Senate Bill 598, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attach do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Transportation, Infrastructure, and Public Safety, to which was referred Senate Bill 751, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Transportation, Infrastructure, and Public Safety, to which was referred Senate Bill 708, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Transportation, Infrastructure, and Public Safety, to which was referred House Committee Substitute House Bill 1246, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Schatz, Chairman.
Senator, the 24th, what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Seeking unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Without objection, proceed.
Mr. President, on your left and on my right over in the side here today, we have some very special guests from St. Louis University. They've been brought here by their professor, Dr. John Amen, and these law students will be future leaders, future lawyers, hopefully future representatives and senators here in the Missouri legislature. But they have joined me in working very hard on our paid earned family medical leave program. And should we have a hearing on that bill this year, they'll be here to testify. So if you will join me in making this group feel welcome.
Will the guests of the Senate 24th please rise and the Senate make them feel welcome. Welcome, glad to have you here in the Missouri Senate. Senator from the second.
Your Committee on General Laws has a report.
Send a report forward. Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on General Laws, to which was referred Senate Bill 602, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Onder, Chairman.
Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Veterans and Military Affairs has a report.
Send a report forward. Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Veterans and Military Affairs, to which was referred Senate Bill 573, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Hoskins, Chairman.
Senator from Boone.
President, your Committee on Government Reform has a report.
Send a report forward. Madam Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Government Reform, to which was referred Senate Bill 612, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Rowden, Chairman.
Senator from Boone, our Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection, and I'd ask that you call the calendar.
We're on the order of business of Senate bills perfection. Senate Bill 563, Senator from Berry.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 563 be brought before the body for perfection.
The Senator from Berry moves that Senate Bill 563 be brought before the body. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The ayes have it. Senator from Berry.
No, Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 563 be perfected and finally printed.
The Senator from Berry moves that Sub 563 be ordered perfected and printed. Senator from Berry.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill would revert the Missouri RX program to what it was prior to the 2017 session. We're going to have to change the statute to make it back to where it was. It will still be subject to appropriations. As many of you know, the MO-RX program was set to expire last year, and so I filed Senate Bill 423 to reauthorize the program for another 3 years. Unfortunately, the program became victim of the budget situation we were facing last year, and the General Assembly was forced to reauthorize the program for only dual eligibles, people on Medicare and Medicaid recipients only. And so the Medicare-only recipients between the 85% federal poverty level and 185% were cut off of this program. So it was very difficult, as a strong proponent that I am of the MoRx program. And I have seen so many seniors that it served in my pharmacy to stomach this cut. I promised when SB 433 passed that I would do whatever I could this session to help those seniors affected by it and hopefully return the program to what it was. The MoRx program was created to help Missourians with out-of-pocket cost of prescription drugs, particularly those who fell into the Medicare Part D donut hole. And as I mentioned, it's subject to appropriations, and we're just changing the statute to back to where it was before 2017. And with that, I'll be glad to take any questions.
Have you moved for the adoption, Senator? There's no, you have no sub, so okay.
Nope.
Further discussion on Senator from the first, what region do you rise?
Choir of the Senator from Berry.
Senator from Berry, yield. Proceed.
So, all right. So, different bill than the one you had on the floor yesterday, right?
This is a completely different bill
completely
than the one we were
bill.
Discussing yesterday.
You know,
the bill
looking...
we discussed yesterday was a good bill also.
Yeah, so I'm looking at my calendar, and I don't see the formal perfection calendar listed on our calendar today, regardless. So yesterday was 561, and
yes,
today is a MoRx bill, correct?
That's correct.
And I will tell you it is a MoRx bill that I have yet to have the opportunity to review. I don't serve on the committee that heard it, I don't believe. Feel free to let me know if that's wrong, but I'm pretty sure I haven't seen this.
This bill, no, it went through seniors, families, and children.
And you know, that might actually be the one committee that I don't serve on, Senator. I think the senator from the fifth actually serves on one more than me. I've only got seven now, but she's got eight, I think. I'm told. So, all right. So we passed significant legislation on MoRx last year, and I was sort of the understanding that. Refresh my recollection as to what we did last year.
What we did last year was we put into the to the bill last year 433 that says the provisions of this subsection shall only apply to Medicaid dual eligible individuals.
That's
people on Medicaid and Medicare.
Okay, and that's lines 13 and 14.
Yep. So it eliminated the Medicare only recipients.
Okay. How many of them were there?
How many recipients?
Yeah.
Well, I don't have that number. Let me see. Maybe I do. Hold on. About 63,000 seniors.
Okay. Yeah. That refreshes my recollection. And so obviously there is a fiscal note on this bill.
Yes, it is subject to appropriations. But if it was fully funded, it would we would need about another $11 million.
Well, Senator, I don't know that I've asked 20 questions about this bill, but at least for the moment, I think I've asked all the questions I've got. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the Ninth.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire of the senator from Barry?
Senator from Barry, do you yield to an inquiry of the senator from the Ninth?
Yes, I do.
You can proceed.
So I'm a bit confused here because I think we might actually agree on a bill.
Well, we've agreed on bills in the past.
Yeah, we have, actually, in the past. And I'm thinking, wow, this is kind of bizarre because this actually looks as if it's probably a really good bill that would serve, of course, individuals? Almost 65,000 people?
Yeah, we're serving low-income seniors.
Right.
And it's people that do not qualify for Medicaid, but they're between the 85% federal poverty level and the 185% federal poverty level.
Okay.
So the least would be about $10,000 a year, and the upper end would be around $22,000 a year. So, you know, they're just barely getting by.
Right.
And
I understand that.
There's what is called a donut hole in Medicare Part D, and it's about $3,000. And so they're having to come up with... They can't afford that money.
Right, I am sensitive. So I am supportive. I kind of rushed down here thinking, and I said, oh, wait a minute. I think this is the other that I actually really like. That's a great bill. So anyway, with that, I wanted to give you a hard time because clearly, I'm very supportive of this, and thank you for, of course, moving on.
Well, it is subject to appropriations, but
right,
we need to change the statute to include the Medicare only recipients, to change the statute. And then in budget talks, which you're on the budget committee, we can talk about how much we're going to fund that program.
Okay. Thank you for the inquiry.
Welcome.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator from Barry, you recognize close.
I close.
The senator from Barry renews his motion that Senate Bill 563 be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is ordered, perfected, and printed. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to order business of second reading of Senate bills.
Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business second reading of Senate bills. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 900.
Senate Bill 900, an act relating to activities extended to persons found guilty of certain criminal offenses.
Judiciary, civil, criminal jurisprudence, Senate Bill 901.
Senate Bill 901, an act relating to prostate cancer.
Health and pensions, Senate Bill 902.
Senate Bill 902, an act relating to firefighter retirement systems for certain cities.
Health and pensions, Senate Bill 903.
Senate Bill 903, an act relating to the operation of motor vehicles.
Transportation, infrastructure, public safety. Senate Bill 904.
Senate Bill 904, an act relating to teacher employment.
Education. Senate Bill 905.
Senate Bill 905, an act relating to property tax rates set by school districts.
Education. Senate Bill 906.
Senate Bill 906, an act relating to health care facilities.
Health and pensions, Senate Bill 907.
Senate Bill 907, an act relating to the conveyance of property owned by the state in the city of Jefferson, Cole County, Missouri.
General laws, Senate Bill 908.
Senate Bill 908, an act relating to insurance guarantee associations.
Insurance and banking. Senate Bill 909.
Senate Bill 909, an act relating to fiduciary access to digital assets.
Judiciary and civil criminal jurisprudence. Senate Bill 910.
Senate Bill 910, an act relating to the blind pension fund.
Health and pensions. Senate Bill 911.
Senate Bill 911, an act relating to immunity from liability for the transmission of animal pathogens on fairgrounds.
Agriculture, food production, outdoor resources. Senate Bill 912.
Senate Bill 912, an act relating to tuition at public higher education institutions.
Appropriations. Senate Bill 913.
Senate Bill 913, an act relating to the duties of the Children's Division.
Seniors, families, and children. Senate Bill 914.
Senate Bill 914, an act relating to portable electronics insurance.
Insurance and banking. Senate Bill 915.
Senate Bill 915, an act relating to contingency fee contracts.
Government reform. Senate Bill 916.
Senate Bill 916, an act relating to the opening date for school terms.
Education. Senate Bill 917.
Senate Bill 917, an act relating to coal ash.
Commerce, consumer protection, energy, environment. Senate Bill 918.
Senate Bill 918, an act relating to working animals.
Agriculture, food production, outdoor resources. Senate Bill 919.
Senate Bill 919, an act relating to licensure to operate motor vehicles.
Transportation, infrastructure, public safety. Senate Bill 920.
Senate Bill 920, an act relating to real estate licensees.
Professional registration. Senate Bill 921.
Senate Bill 921, an act relating to elementary and secondary education.
Economic development. Senate Bill 922.
Senate Bill 922, an act relating to the Missouri Rural Broadband Development Fund.
Commerce, consumer protection, energy, environment. Senate Bill 923.
Senate Bill 923, an act relating to the address confidentiality program.
Seniors, families, and children. Senate Bill 924.
Senate Bill 924, an act relating to a visiting scholar's certificate.
Education. Senate Bill 925.
Senate Bill 925, an act relating to the classification of property for the purposes of taxation.
Agriculture, food production, outdoor resources. Senate Bill 926.
Senate Bill 926, an act relating to radiologic imaging and radiation therapy licensure.
Professional registration. Senate Bill 927.
Senate Bill 927, an act relating to public contracts.
General laws. Senate Bill 928.
Senate Bill 928, an act relating to emergency services benefit determinations.
Health and pensions. Senate Bill 929.
Senate Bill 929, an act relating to transportation sensors.
Transportation, infrastructure, public safety. Senate Bill 930.
Senate Bill 930, an act relating to guardians ad litem.
Seniors, families, and children. Senate Bill 931.
Senate Bill 931, an act relating to emergency medical services personnel.
Professional registration. Senate Bill 932.
Senate Bill 932, an act relating to reimbursement allowance taxes.
Appropriations. Senate Bill 933.
Senate Bill 933, an act relating to property assessed clean energy.
Local government elections. Senate Bill 934.
Senate Bill 934, an act relating to the statute of limitations for personal injury claims.
Government reform. Senate Bill 935.
Senate Bill 935, an act relating to board members of public water supply districts.
Local government elections. Senate Bill 936.
Senate Bill 936, an act relating to tax increment financing.
Economic Development. Senate Bill 937.
Senate Bill 937, an act relating to public assistance.
Seniors, families, and children. Senate Bill 938.
Senate Bill 938, an act relating to meat.
Agriculture, food production, outdoor resources. Senate Bill 939.
Senate Bill 939, an act relating to taxation.
Ways and Means. Senate Bill 940.
Senate Bill 940, an act relating to the imposition of a tax to fund roads and bridges upon abolishing the township form of county government.
Local government elections. Senate Bill 941.
Senate Bill 941, an act relating to floodplain management.
Commerce, consumer protection, energy, environment. Senate Bill 942.
Senate Bill 942, an act relating to trust accounts.
Insurance and Banking, Senate Bill 943.
Senate Bill 943, an act relating to pre-need funeral contracts.
Insurance and Banking, Senate Bill 944.
Senate Bill 944, an act relating to the purchasing of modernized technology using unexpended state funds saved through a state technology modernization fund.
Government Reform, Senate Bill 945.
Senate Bill 945, an act relating to civil rights for homeless persons.
Seniors, Families, and Children, Senate Bill 946.
Senate Bill 946, an act relating to gifts and fraud of marital rights.
Judiciary, Civil, and Criminal Jurisprudence, Senate Bill 947.
Senate Bill 947, an act relating to real estate planning.
Judiciary, Civil, and Criminal Jurisprudence, Senate Bill 948.
Senate Bill 948, an act relating to work and community engagement requirements for certain Mo Health Net participants.
Seniors, Families, and Children, Senate Bill 949.
Senate Bill 949, an act relating to reading intervention in schools.
Education, Senate Bill 950.
Senate Bill 950, an act relating to dental faculty permits.
Professional Registration, Senate Bill 951.
Senate Bill 951, an act relating to hospital regulations.
Health and Pensions, Senate Bill 952.
Senate Bill 952, an act relating to internet domain names of website operators.
General Laws, Senate Bill 953.
Senate Bill 953, an act relating to schedules of controlled substances.
Seniors, Families, and Children, Senate Bill 954.
Senate Bill 954, an act relating to expungement of records relating to the offense of unlawful use of a weapon.
Judiciary, Civil, and Criminal Jurisprudence, Senate Bill 955.
Senate Bill 955, an act relating to reductions in automobile insurance coverage.
Insurance and Banking, Senate Bill 956.
Senate Bill 956, an act relating to transportation infrastructure.
Transportation Infrastructure Public Safety, Senate Bill 957.
Senate Bill 957, an act relating to consumer legal funding.
Government Reform, Senate Bill 958.
Senate Bill 958, an act relating to forensic examinations.
Judiciary, Civil, and Criminal Jurisprudence, Senate Bill 959.
Senate Bill 959, an act relating to the credit user protection law.
Insurance and Banking, Senate Joint Resolution 34.
Senate Joint Resolution 34, an act relating to property tax exemptions for veterans.
Veterans and Military Affairs.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you inquire from the Secretary if there are messages in the House? If so, I'd ask those messages please be read.
There are messages from the House. Madam Secretary, please read the message.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 1465, entitled An Act Relating to Higher Education. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 1287, entitled An Act Relating to Insurance Markets for Commercial Insurance. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute House Bill 1381, entitled An Act Relating to Financial Accreditation Standards for Insurance Companies, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Respectfully submitted, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Seeing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements. 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 Seeing none, Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming for the body. I move the Senate to stand adjourned until 1600, Monday, January 29th, 2018 AD.
The Senator from Cole moves the Senate stand adjourned until 4 o'clock on Monday, January 29th. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate is adjourned.